You're listening to the Do Gooders podcast.
I've heard it said that building well-being in a person is like building a strong house. It requires certain materials, resources, and opportunities. And when these materials are not available, we may have a hard time surviving the storms. For so many kids around the world, the Salvation Army is a key part of their building materials. Did you know, for instance, that the Salvation Army operates more than 2,700 schools, including schools for blind and disabled children, and residential programs for orphaned, neglected, and trafficked children? These programs are supported by people like you and like me, and the lady at the center of connecting it all for the Salvation Army on the U.S. West Coast is Rachel Thieme Ramirez. Rachel's on the show today to talk about how she aims to do good and how you can be part of providing for the essential needs of children right where you are. Yes, you can have a direct impact on a little life today. So without further ado, allow me to introduce to you today's do-gooder, Rachel.
You're listening to the Do Gooders podcast, a show from the Salvation Army's Caring Magazine, where we firmly believe that good starts with you. We get it. Life is busy, and we know you want to do good, but squeezing another thing into the to-do list is hard. Idea organizer, truth seeker, and good infuser Kristen Thieme will introduce you to people just like you who are doing good right where they are, so you can be inspired to make your world a better, brighter place. Listen in on honest conversations for actions you can take to do good today. Here's your host, Caring Magazine editor, Kristen Thieme.
Did you know the Salvation Army served more than 23 million Americans last year fighting hunger, homelessness, substance abuse, and more, all in a fight for good? See what's happening in your neighborhood at westernusa.salvationarmy.org. That's westernusa.salvationarmy.org.
Rachel, thank you so much for agreeing to come on this podcast with Caring Magazine and talk to us more about your work and about your life and how you do good. I'm excited to have you.
Yeah, thank you so much. I'm really looking forward to chatting with you a little bit more.
So let's just start out with a nice big question for you. What is the problem that you most want to solve and why?
Well, one problem that I want to solve would be for every child in the world to have an opportunity to live a full and dignified life. Of course, I actually really want this for every person, not just children, but I've always felt extra compassion for children in particular. They're especially vulnerable and they're born into circumstances that they can't control. So whether a child has been abandoned or abused, orphaned, or suffers extreme poverty, I feel that it's almost our human responsibility to ensure they are taken care of and that they have opportunities to flourish.
I love that. And yeah, like you said, it's important to remember that they can't control their environment. So that's where people like us can step in. So what does a typical day look like for you? Then how do you go about that?
I coordinate the child sponsorship program for the Salvation Army in the USA Western Territory. And a lot of people are surprised, actually, when I tell them how vast the Salvation Army's global work is. And as it pertains to my role, the work with children. So, for example, around the world, the Salvation Army runs over 2,700 schools, including those for blind and disabled children.
Wow.
We also have residential programs for orphaned, neglected, and trafficked children. And we have countless after-school programs, which provide tutoring for children from poor neighborhoods and keeps them off the street and away from gangs. So my role is to share about the Army's work with children around the world and to extend an invitation to people here in the United States to be part of it through sponsorship. In a typical day, I'm often interacting with sponsorship coordinators in the field to identify centers that are struggling financially to provide these essential services to children. And I'm also interacting with existing and potential sponsors to share about these needs and also to share about how children's lives are being changed in our program.
So what does that look like if I become a sponsor? Can you talk more about that?
Yeah. So if you became a sponsor, you would be providing $25 a month. You could provide more than that, but that's the minimum that we were asked for one of our schools, after school programs, or children's homes. You'd be paired with one of these centers along with other sponsors, and your sponsorship is actually helping pay directly for the costs associated with the children. So like their food, their clothing, their school fees, their school uniforms. It's not necessarily going like for staffing or the bills. And so that's what sponsorship assists with.
So that's really having a tangible impact then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a direct impact. And it's just a way, you know, we're here in the United States and there are needs here, but there's also needs all over the world. And some countries or communities just don't have as many resources. And it's just a way for people here to connect with what's going on in another place around the world.
Interesting. Okay. What do you think brought you here? Is there maybe a particular moment in your life that made an impact on you and really made you interested in this specific area of doing good, or what brought you to this work?
Well, when I was 19, I went to South Africa on Service Corps, which is a program with the Salvation Army where young adults can go and serve with the Salvation Army's work somewhere internationally. This was my first time traveling overseas, and it was during this trip that I discovered I had a passion for the world and for children of the world. We spent 1 week running a vacation Bible school at a home for orphan and abandoned children. I was very much affected by the barriers that these children were facing. They didn't have parents to care for their individual needs. They didn't have financial resources. And if it wasn't for the Salvation Army, they likely would have been street children. So through this experience, I saw how the Salvation Army stepped in to meet a need. They ensured every child's basic needs were met, but they also did the best they could to ensure these children knew how much worth they had in God's eyes and to give them an opportunity to live a full life despite their circumstances. Also this summer, there was a scripture that really hit home for me, which was James 1:27 that talks about religion that God accepts is to look after orphans in their distress. So my experience through Service Corps in South Africa and the words in that scripture have really guided me in many ways since then. After college, I served as a lay missionary with the Salvation Army at one of our children's homes in Mexico. And then later I came into this role about 5 years ago where I've been able to draw from my personal experiences to invite others to take part of looking after orphans and children in need.
So much more than a job for you. This is really something that you're called to do. And how does faith come into play with that? And you touched on this a little bit, but how does faith impact your life on a daily basis?
My faith is the foundation for my life. Jesus said that the two greatest commandments are to love God and to love others. And I really try to live my life in response to those two commandments. My faith also allows me to live in the tension of a here and not yet kingdom. Jesus talked about how the kingdom of God is at hand. It's here and we can catch glimpses of it, but at the same time, it isn't fully here. And that's why there's still pain and suffering. So despite the unfairness that I see in the world, I can maintain hope and attempt to alleviate some of the pain, catching glimpses of God's kingdom while I wait for its full realization. And this has translated to my work on behalf of children in need around the world and also in my local context as I've volunteered with foster youth.
How do you extend that to people that you see around you? We talk a lot in the Salvation Army about doing good through the organization in our communities and so forth. In your estimation, what does it look like for someone to do good?
Well, recently I was actually thinking about how Jesus lived his life while he was here on earth. And often he was on his way somewhere when someone would come up to him and ask for his help and he would stop and respond. Or he would just be on his way somewhere and he would notice someone in need and again would stop and respond. Think that this is what it looks like to incorporate doing good into the regular rhythm of life. His example tells me that it's important to be present in our everyday life, to be aware of the people around us, and to be responsive to the needs that we see. This sounds really simple, but I also recognize that it's difficult because doing good involves sacrifice. Most of us would prefer to stay comfortable, but we might have to sacrifice our time, our finances, or our plans in order to reach out to someone in need. There's also a verse that speaks about this in Hebrews 13:16. It says, "Do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased." So there's two mindsets that help guide me to do good when I'd rather stay comfortable. And these are: one, I try to see every person as having intrinsic value as an image bearer of God. And this motivates me to take action when I see someone in need. And the other is asking myself, if God's kingdom was here in this moment right now, what would it look like and what could I do to be part of making that a reality?
I love that framework. That's something we could each adopt, is how we look about doing good. And I think that element of sacrifice is really important too, and not something that we always hear about, but we all have the ability to do good. And sometimes that comes with prioritizing how we're going to spend our time and our finances and so forth. So sometimes that does involve an element of sacrifice. It's important to remember.
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Why do you choose to do good through the Salvation Army? I mean, it sounds like since you were 19, maybe even before, you've been involved. directly through this organization. Why do you stay? Why do you do good through the Army?
Yes. So the Salvation Army's mission is very straightforward. They're motivated by the love of God. Its mission is to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and to meet human needs in his name without discrimination. And I have seen this in action in so many ways. From that first time I did Service Corps in South Africa, I have continued to work and volunteer with the Salvation Army, both locally and abroad. And I see how people who are forgotten by our power and status-driven world are not forgotten by the Salvation Army. Instead, they are seen as valuable, worthy of love and dignity, and are given help so that they can have opportunities to flourish. I choose to do good through the Salvation Army because I've witnessed them being true to their mission.
I love that. That's really neat.
Caring Magazine is a publication of the Salvation Army, dedicated to helping you do good right where you are. Stay informed and join in. Head to caringmagazine.org and sign up for the free weekly Do Good Digest email newsletter. That's caringmagazine.org.
So you've taken your work and the way that you do good and taken it more theoretical and are just about to hold a master's in international development. Mm-hmm. Gone to the academic side as well as the action side, which is really neat. So can you share more about what you've learned and what it means to get a master's in international development?
Yeah. So textbook definition of international development is seeking to address issues of poverty and inequalities that exist around the world. What international development means to me is seeking God's kingdom on earth in that all things could be restored to how they were meant to be. So these issues of poverty and inequality are, of course, complex, and there isn't a one-size-fits-all method. And in international development, that means that very broad, you could focus on improving health or access to education. You can address gender inequalities or seek to build local economies. And these are just the various topics that I've learned through my program is what are the different ways that you can come into a community, alleviate poverty, address inequalities. And a lot of it is facilitation. You're really working with communities, inviting them to participate in it. It's not you coming in telling people how to do, you know, what they should do and how to do it. It's you're really just facilitating and working with them and drawing on the strengths that are already there. I think what is neat about the fact that I'm studying this and that I work with Salvation Army is that thinking about these definitions, the Salvation Army is highly engaged in international development work. Our programs often seek to address issues of poverty and inequality and provide opportunities that improve people's lives. So I have an example. In Bangladesh, the Salvation Army operates the Integrated Children's Center. This center serves as a children's home for girls who have been orphaned or identified as at risk. It's also a boarding school for boys with visual impairments, and it's a primary school for over 200 children from the local community. This school is focusing on development through education, which improves the future well-being of children in various ways. These girls who otherwise might have been forced into early child marriage, prostitution, or child labor because of their vulnerable position have instead received an education. And many who have come through this home have gone on to have successful careers in a range of professions. Also, if these boys with visual impairments were not at the Integrated Children's Center, it's generally acknowledged that they would likely not be in school at all. Instead, they would be neglected or even harmed since they might be viewed as not contributing to their family or society. So this center is touching on those two points, but then it goes even further because these children are integrated in a school with children from the wider community. So they're able to participate in a mainstream school setting. They're receiving equal education. And this also serves to destigmatize disability and vulnerability for the other students who are there as well as the community. So the center is really touching on development on many different levels. Yeah.
And that's one of the programs that people would sponsor.
Yes, it is. It's one of the centers. Yeah. And international development work, it serves those without many material resources. So often this work is connected to organizations like the Salvation Army who rely on financial support from donors.
So that leads to my next question then. Do you think international development is dependent on organization or on individuals? Or is there some combination?
I would say that there's definitely a combination. It does need some sort of outside assistance, whether that's financial or expertise of people who can come in and see what is going on in the community and engage with the people in that community to identify where the needs are. And like I said, it often is organizations, but sometimes it could be individuals too, people you know, really anyone can do international development work, just depending on the level that you want to do it. It would either be from an individual or organization. But ultimately, there is some sort of external assistance that is needed. So like for these kids at Integrated Children's Center and the children with the visual impairments, Salvation Army or an organization like Salvation Army is necessary to step in and help fill that gap, make sure they're receiving an education and being cared for and their dignity is being upheld. And in order for that to happen, we need financial support because Salvation Army is a nonprofit.
Okay, so someone listening who is really interested in this topic and in the way that we can support children around the world, what's a tangible way that someone listening can get involved in doing good or learning more about this specific topic? Do you have any suggestions?
Yes, there are so many people who I have met and encountered in my role who have generous hearts and who care about the world and who, like me, are especially concerned with the barriers faced by children in vulnerable situations. Not everyone can actually be on the ground doing development work with communities, but everyone can be part of this important work. And child sponsorship is one way that people locally here in the States can participate in international development work. Like I mentioned earlier, sponsorship entails a $25 monthly commitment, and it's a way to make a direct impact on the future outcomes of a child in need, like those attending the Integrated Children's Center. And the neat thing is that sponsorship, it really does make a difference. In 2016, the World Bank conducted a study that showed how child sponsorship directly correlated with higher education levels and future earnings for children that benefited from sponsorship programs. And it not only affects the children's lives personally, but also the communities that they live in as they're able to contribute and give back. So if somebody wanted to partner with the Salvation Army as a sponsor for one of our schools, shelters, or after-school programs that help children in need around the world, they can contact us at child.sponsorship@usw.salvationarmy.org, or they could visit our website to read a little bit more about it, westernusa.salvationarmy.org/child-sponsorship.
Great. And we will link to all that in the show notes as well, so people can access it there. Well, thank you so much for sharing more about the work that you do and how you choose to do good. Thank you for what you are doing and the impact that you're making on so many lives. I really appreciate your time today.
Thank you. I really enjoyed being on the show with you, and it was nice to be able to share about the work the Salvation Army is doing around the world for children in need.
Definitely. Well, thanks for listening to the Do Gooders podcast. We will be back and talk soon.
Thanks for listening to the Do Gooders podcast. Find the show notes for this episode and all past episodes at caringmagazine.org/podcast. And if you love the show, would you share it with a friend? We'll see you next time, Do Gooders.